Okay, good.
If you have your Bibles or you have your cell phone, I would encourage you to, probably the easiest way, we'll have our verses up on the screen, we'll be in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2 is where we'll begin our time together. So most of you are familiar with Christmas and its story, and so we're thankful that we get the opportunity each year to focus and to think back on the gift that we have as we celebrate Christmas together. So we did have a previous service, and I want to thank you guys for coming. We do have a number of folks that are joining us online, and so we're thankful that they are able to take part in our service this evening tonight. I don't know if they all have candles or not, but maybe they can find a birthday candle or something, right? So this evening at Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at two unique characters that maybe we don't talk about very often in the Christmas story. But before we jump into Luke chapter 2, I want to ask you a question. How many of you like to wait? None of you? None of you like to wait? We kind of live in this day, in this age, this time where everything is in a hurry. My mom used to say, a watch pot never boils. And in my life, that was always, I don't wait very well. We live in a time where you can get anything you want in the world, well, it used to be, in 2 days, right? Amazon doesn't deliver in 2 days anymore. We'll talk to Don about that later. Don and I ain't doing it. But anyways, we think about waiting. We don't wait very well in our lives. And Christmas, I think, is one of those times to where many of us struggle to wait. So I want to, most of you still write letters to Santa Claus, yes? Basically. Good. I'm just checking. So I want to read you a couple of letters to Santa Claus as we begin. Those waiting for Christmas, writing a letter. First one says this: Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you. But if you are real hungry, you can use the phone and order a pizza to go. The second: Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time. Sometimes I'm wild. Fourth, from a four-year-old. Third, excuse me. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. And the final. Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot, but here's my list. The Etch-a-Sketch Animator, 2-pack of number 2 pencils, Crayola fat markers, and the big gift, my own color TV. Well, maybe drop the pencils. I don't really want to be selfish. When we think about Christmas has this tendency for us to have to wait. I shared this story. Some of you may have heard it. I made a confession, I guess, to the internet and to everyone in attendance earlier. But I don't wait very well. There was a moment when I was a young kid. Some of you remember going to bed the night of Christmas. Do you remember that? That waiting, that tension, wondering if you were going to get the thing that you asked for. And one time, we were at my aunt and uncle's house, and I remember waiting till the parents had gone to bed, and my aunt and uncle had gone to bed, and listening. And I made my way out into the room, and found my presents, and I peeked. Anybody else ever done it? That morning, that Christmas morning, was the most disappointing Christmas morning that I've ever had. You know, and for us, I think there's so much in our lives that we struggle to wait for. We're going to look this evening at the Gospel of Luke, looking at a people who had been struggling to wait. Many people who had even abandoned their own faith, who had looked at different areas and started to struggle with if God was actually going to do what he said he was going to do. So with that premise, I want to ask you this question. What are you waiting for? As we look tonight in Luke chapter 2, we're going to look specifically at two individuals, not Mary and Joseph, but I'll share with you their names in just a moment. Two individuals that don't get a lot of attention in the Christmas story, but are very similar to us in things that we wait for. As we begin, I want to start in Luke chapter 2, starting in verses 1 through 7, what we see as the Christmas story. Starting in verse 1, it says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is the house, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the inn. The two individuals that we'll look at tonight, as we kind of read through this Christmas story, and this past Sunday we talked about the wise men as they came and they journeyed towards Bethlehem, and you can imagine the anticipation that maybe they had as they journeyed along hoping to find Jesus. Now this past week, as we saw on Monday, the Christmas star, and all the end, we didn't see it because we live in Montana, it's cloudy sometimes. And so this anticipation that the wise men had as they journeyed along, and then we also see the shepherds as they were told of the birth of Jesus, and as they ran into Bethlehem to see what had been reported. Those are the characters that we typically think of when we talk about the story of Christmas. But you see, tonight I ask you that question: what are you waiting for? Maybe this Christmas you've struggled. Maybe this Christmas you're looking for a source of comfort, of a source of hope. Maybe there are things that you expected or anticipated, and yet they didn't happen. Luke, as we have noted, Luke wrote very specific details to the narrative of Christmas. Tonight we're going to look at these two people, and really the Greek word that Luke uses identifies anticipation. But not just anticipation, it's literally an alertness of appearance or a readiness to welcome. That there's this moment that a person is hungering for, is excited about, is looking towards. So those two we're going to look at this evening are a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, we see this word being used that Simeon was waiting. And Anna in Luke chapter 2, verse 38 says that she was looking forward to. So Simeon tonight, as we begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, tells us that he was looking for comfort. Now, we can look at this day and age in our culture and time. There's so much chaos and so many things happening. You know, and when Jesus entered into the world, there was very similar circumstances. The Roman government had come in and imposed strict rules, and there had been so much challenge that had happened. People were looking for a Savior. King Herod had come, and many of us know much about King Herod and the terrible things in which he did. And they were wondering when hope would come. This man named Simeon in Luke chapter 25, it tells us that, or Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it tells us this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. See, Simeon was righteous before the people, but he was also had a righteous relationship with God. He was anticipating and looking for hope. He himself would go to the temple and pray earnestly that he would find the Messiah. Verse 26, Simeon tells her, the words of Simeon says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You see, Simeon's expectation focused on the comfort that Christ would bring. One of the common terms or words used for the Messiah during that age was the comfort, one who would come and bring relief. Many of the Christmas songs in which we sing remind us of Christ as the comforter. Now, we don't like to be uncomfortable. Do any of you like to be uncomfortable? No. I can't really see you, so you're going to have to say yes or no. None of us like to be uncomfortable. See, you got uncomfortable because I made you answer the question. None of us like to be uncomfortable. And we look around, and I think many of us have come to this place where we just don't like to be uncomfortable so much that we're willing to compromise or give up or even ignore so many of these other things. I think comfort is this human need and human desire, but there are so many who struggle with great issues and have ignored the hope of comfort because of the difficulty that they have endured. You see, we struggle during this time. Unfortunately, Christmas is a time where there are many who struggle with loneliness or emptiness or insecurity, depression, and other issues. There are so many looking for hope and comfort. Simeon was a man who was looking for comfort. He saw this nation and his people distraught and broken without hope. But God orchestrated and provided for Simeon and for us a source of hope and comfort. Now we find in this story, Simeon, as he goes to the temple, God sent him at the right time, on the right day, to encounter Joseph and Mary, bringing their infant to the temple. At this point in time, Jesus would have been approximately 6 weeks old. And this picture that Jesus had been called, that Mary was indicated, that his name would be Emmanuel, or God with us. As Simeon encountered Jesus that very first Christmas, as he saw him in the temple, what we find looking in Luke chapter 2, verse 28, starting in verse 28, are these words. Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace, according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel." Simeon came and recognized Jesus. He saw him as the great gift and the comforter, just a six-week-old child. And Simeon knew that he was looking upon the promised Messiah, the hope for all people. The second person we look at this evening is a woman named Anna. Now, Anna kind of plays another unique role. Simeon, as he was seeking comfort for not only himself, but for the nation, Anna was waiting for forgiveness. Now, Anna had endured great loss in her life. We know very little about her, but we know her husband had died, and from that point, she dedicated her life to prayer and fasting. Literally, Anna lived at church. Day and night, Anna was praying, she was seeking the Lord, she was looking for not just comfort and hope, but forgiveness. When we look at Anna's story, there are so many of us that come and we are heavy laden and burdened with challenges, not only of the world that we live in, but even of the choices and decisions that we've made. And what we find from Anna's story is that she recognizes and gives us the reminder, the gift of forgiveness given to us through Jesus. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 38, it says this, "Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." Redemption and forgiveness are these two similar ideas. It's a picture of restoration. When Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke to him, waiting for this hope. Here at last, the one who had been promised and who had been prophesied about. I shared earlier that there were over 633 different prophecies about the Messiah. There were those who would have known, who would have seen, and who would have understood. And now we find Simeon and Anna encountering Jesus on that very first Christmas in this moment of recognition that Jesus is a source of comfort and forgiveness. This evening, I want us to recognize that Jesus provides all that we need. Maybe tonight we identify with Simeon. Maybe this evening you're hurting or struggling. You feel empty or lonely or afraid. Or maybe you're stressed out. Maybe tonight we need a moment to stop. Maybe we need a moment to find comfort and peace in the presence of God. See, that's what Christmas is for us. Simeon encountered it, and the promise for us stands the same. Or maybe we identify more with Anna. Maybe there are those struggles and hardships that we have gone through, and we feel trapped in patterns and decisions and life choices. And maybe tonight we need to receive the forgiveness promised through Christ. I want to share with you three action steps this evening before we close. In the first, we find a common picture of becoming a marveler. To become a marveler. Now, this past Sunday, we talked about the wise men, and they stopped and they marveled at the star. We see it in so many other different places as Mary and Joseph encountered the angel, and as the shepherds encountered the angel, in this moment to where they were awestruck. Maybe this evening we have all become so accustomed to the story of Christmas that we have forgotten to marvel. To marvel is literally translated as to wonder in astonishment and surprise. This moment to where our eyes are open and we see clearer. Maybe this Christmas we have become so encumbered by just the busyness and all the things that we have to do. We need to stop and we need to marvel at what God has done. In Luke chapter 2 verse 33, it tells us that Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about Jesus. Maybe tonight we need to become marvelers. The second thing we should become is to become a mover. Maybe as we recognize Christmas and we marvel at the gifts that have been given to us, maybe those things should bring us to a point of action. To a point to where we no longer are apathetic about our faith or the things that we believe, but we begin to move. We see in Simeon's life in verse 27 is that he was moved by the Spirit and he went to the temple courts. Anna in verse 38, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God that there is action in both Simeon and Anna's life. When the Holy Spirit prompted them to move, they didn't sit still. What if we responded in action rather than in apathy? We see it in Mary. She was ready to move when the angel said, "May," when the angel gave her instruction, and she said, "May it be to me as you have said." And we see in Joseph, he demonstrated that he was a mover. As in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, he said that he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home to be his wife. The shepherds were movers in Luke 2:15, saying, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." You see, when we are prompted by God to do something, he is there to provide for us. Simeon and Anna were willing to move. You see, this moment of awestruck recognition of who God is, I think in verse 34, that picture of Simeon, imagine for a moment if he felt his need to go to the temple that day, and he said, "You know, I'm just too tired." And he missed it. But rather, he responded in faith, and he saw this great moment of joy and celebration. And he comes and gives an interesting greeting, maybe one that is not quite as familiar as ours when we see the Christmas story. Verse 34, it says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against." That sounds like a dark picture, but truly it reminds us that we can celebrate Christmas because Jesus' death on the cross won victory over sin, and in that we can truly say that God sent us the greatest gift in Christ. Now, when we look at the story of Christmas, we recognize that it ultimately puts us in two different camps. Either we receive the gift of Jesus, or we don't. We can't be neutral about Jesus. Either we trust him, we follow him, or we don't. Simeon and Anna were faithful, and they sought not just comfort and forgiveness, but received the picture and understanding of who Jesus was to be. The final action step for us this evening is to become a messenger. To become a messenger. In verse 38, we see the words of told of what Anna, in her response, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, what we see in Anna's response is that she was willing to tell anyone about Jesus. And we think about Christmas. Christmas has kind of been a unique time this year, and I think all of us can see that, well, pretty much everything this year has been just a little bit different. Maybe for you, if you're like me, I've somehow managed to not remember that it's Christmas, and it's coming pretty quick. When we think about it, it's kind of snuck up on. And when we talk about this Merry Christmas idea, that for some of us, we have forgotten, really, that Christmas is a great opportunity for us to share the message of hope about who Christ is. But we can become so caught up in the busyness and the distractions or all the things that we have to do. But my hope this Christmas is that we would become marvelers, wondering at what God has done for us, that we would become movers, that we would seek to bring comfort and forgiveness to those we meet, and that we would become messengers, declaring the hope of Christ to anyone who will listen. In a nutshell, Christmas for us is one of those greatest opportunities. It opens our eyes, it opens our hearts, and it opens our minds to point others for ourselves to receive the hope of Jesus. I want to share with you a story. I didn't share it earlier. And it's a story I've shared with you before. And this story really comes off this premise, is that once you have the Son, you have everything. Some of you may remember this story from years past, but this story has always struck me as incredibly important as we remember the gift of Jesus. And the story is called Whoever Takes the Son. Many years ago, there was a wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting with his son. They had priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh adorning the walls of their family estate. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation. The young man left to serve his country. After a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His son had died. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of Christmas had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the old, depressed man. As he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art on the wall only reminded him of his son, that his son was not coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hands and said, "I was a friend to your son. I was the one who he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you." The soldier mentioned that he was an artist and gave the old man the package. The paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider its work of genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man hung the portrait over the fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of work. His task completed, the old man sat in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift he had been given. The painting soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any interest in pieces of art which museums around the world claim. The following spring, the old man died. The art world waited with anticipation with the upcoming auction. According to the will of the old man, all the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he received the greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and art collectors around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled that day. The auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's museum list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. "Who will open the bid with $100? And no one spoke. Finally, someone said, "Who cares about this painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the good stuff." The auctioneer responded, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now who will take the son?" Finally, a neighbor of the old man offered $10. "That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold." And the gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, "Now we can bid on the real treasures." The auctioneer looked at the room filled with people and announced that the auction was over. Everyone was stunned, and someone spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of someone's son. There's millions of dollars worth of art here. What is going on?" And the auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all." See, this Christmas, as we receive the gift of the Son, we are given it all.